Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 10th, 2019. Balhasulam. From my Facebook page Michael Leitman, the 10th of October 2019. Yehudil Halevi Ashlag is known as Balhasulam, owner of the ladder, for his Sulam, ladder, commentary on the Book of Zohar. Balhasulam dedicated his life to interpretations and innovations in the wisdom of Kabbalah, disseminating it in Israel and throughout the world. He developed a unique method to the study of Kabbalah, by which any person can delve into the depth of reality and reveal its roots and purpose of existence. Balhasulam was born in Warsaw, Poland on September 24, 1884. At the age of 19 he was ordained as a rabbi by the greatest rabbis of Warsaw, and for 16 years he served as a Dayan, Jewish Orthodox judge, and a teacher in Warsaw. Balhasulam's teacher was Rabbi Yehoshua of Poresov. In 1921, Balhasulam immigrated to Israel and settled in the old city of Jerusalem. The word of his coming quickly spread among Jews who emigrated from Poland, and he soon became known as an authority in Kabbalah. Gradually, a group of students formed around him, attending Kabbalah lessons in the wee hours. Later on, Balhasulam moved from the old city and settled in Givat Shaul, which was then a new neighborhood in Jerusalem, where for several years he served as the neighborhood rabbi. Balhasulam spent the years 1926 to 1928 in London. During his time in London, he wrote the commentary to the Aristry of Life Upanim Meirot Must Be Rot, which he printed in 1927. Throughout his stay in London, Balhasulam conducted extensive correspondence with his students in Israel, which were assembled in 1985 in a book titled Igrot Kodesh, Letters of Sanctity. In 1933, Balhasulam published the tractates Matan Torah, The Giving of the Torah, Ha'avot, The Bond, and Ha'shalom, The Peace. Balhasulam's two major works, the result of many years of labor, are Talmud Esser Sefirot, The Study of the Ten Sefirot, a commentary on the writings of the Ari, and Parash HaSulam, the Sulam commentary on the Book of Zohar. The publications of the 16 parts, in 6 volumes, of Talmud Esser Sefirot began in 1937. In 1940 he published Bichar HaKavanot, The Gatehouse of Intentions, with commentaries to selected writings of the Ari. Pesach HaSulam on the Zohar was printed in 18 volumes in the years 1945 to 1953. Later on Balhasulam wrote 3 additional volumes containing commentaries on the New Zohar, whose printing was completed in 1955, after his demise. In his introduction to the Book of Zohar, Balhasulam writes as follows, Item 58, and I have named that commentary the Sulam, ladder, to show that the purpose of it is, as with every ladder, that if you have an attic full of goods, then all you need is a ladder to reach it, and then all the bounty of the world is in your hands. Balhasulam wrote a series of introductions that prepare the student for proper study of Kabbalistic texts. Some of these introductions are preface to the Book of Zohar, introduction to the Book of Zohar, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, preface to the Sulam commentary, general preface to the Tree of Life, and introduction to Talmud Esser Sefirot. In 1940, Balhasulam published the first and, as it turned out, the last issue of the journal Ha'omar, The Nation. The journal was shut down by the British Mandate authorities after having received malicious information that the journal propagated communism. Balhasulam encountered enormous difficulties printing his books. We can learn of the importance he ascribed to printing and disseminating Kabbalah from the 2003 Israel Award laureate Professor Shlomo Joran Shochem's description of his meeting with Balhasulam in the early 1950s. I found him standing in a dilapidated building, almost a shack, which housed an old printing press. He couldn't afford to pay a typesetter and was doing the typesetting himself, letter by letter, standing over the printing press for hours at a time, despite the fact that he was in his late 60s. Ashlag was clearly a tzaddik, righteous man, a humble man, with a radiant face. But he was an absolutely marginal figure and terribly impoverished. I later heard that he spent so many hours setting type that the lead used in the printing process damaged his health. This excerpt was published on December 17, 2004 in Haaretz newspaper, in a story by Micah Odenheimer. Baal HaSulam did not merely put his ideas on paper, he acted vigorously to promote them. He met with many leaders of the Jewish settlement in Israel of the time, leaders of the labor movement and many public figures. Among these figures are David Ben-Gurion, Zalman Shazar, Moshe Said, Haim Alozrov, Moshe Aram, Muyori, Yekef Hazan, Dov Sadan and the great poet Haim Naaman Bialik. According to Ben-Gurion, he met with Yehuda Ashlag several times, and was apparently surprised. I wanted to talk to him about Kabbalah, and he wanted to talk about socialism. Ben-Gurion Archive, Diaries, August 11, 1958. In his essay Three Meetings and In Between, Amot, Tel Aviv, 1963, p.49, Dov Sadan writes, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag, among the greatest Kabbalists of the time, aimed at turning the fundamentals of Kabbalah into a historic engine of our generation. Through his socialistic perception, which is based on the above, he sought contact with the kibbutz movement. It might be surprising to think that Baal HaSulam sought connection with the Hebrew labor movement and its leaders, considering the mental and educational chasm between them. However, deep study of his writings reveals a fascinating and intriguing figure of an erudite who was very much involved in the events of his time, both in Israel and the world over, a figure whose ideas are considered revolutionary and daring even to this day. The Meaning of Kabbalistic Books, Part 1. The Many Faces of the Torah. Question: when we open the Torah, we find a collection of historical stories with many characters. How should we correctly relate to them? Answer: if the Torah did not come from a special source but was an ordinary book written, suppose by a person in the Middle Ages, then it would just be an interesting historical novel. The Torah itself is presented in very interesting language, and when you start reading it, you cannot stop, because it captivates you. There is something in it that makes you never get tired of reading it. I speak of this as an ordinary reader who has nothing to do with the origin of this book, religion, history, geography, or with anything else. It is just written in an interesting style. Some perceived the Torah as a historical document, others as fiction, or, perhaps, as a collection of instructions or legal documents. It contains a lot of information about the interaction of people and nations in ancient times, about their view of the world. In general, the Torah is a very interesting book. We see something similar in Josephus Flavius, if it is possible to compare the Torah and his works at all. To some extent, he retells the Torah and describes it as a historian. Josephus is a truly stunning historian with a broad outlook and a deep knowledge of historical facts. He wrote his works while in exile in Rome, where a huge institute was created especially for him, where hundreds of people worked for him. But all the same, what he wrote cannot be compared with the Torah itself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 18th of December 2018. Why we need to understand the greatness and uniqueness of Baal HaSulam. Today is a special day, the Yazd, the day commemorating the death of Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam. Who is Baal HaSulam? He is the soul that connects us to the Creator. He was a person who opened all the gates of the wisdom of Kabbalah to the last generation we're now in. Without Baal HaSulam's teaching, we would be unable to be awarded with what we have already received. Moreover, without Baal HaSulam's teaching, we would be unable to progress to what is ahead of us, both in terms of the knowledge and the method of Kabbalah, and also its stages of attainment. No matter what will happen as we head forth, we will reach a need for the Creator. However, such a need will have to pass through this great soul. A person has the choice of going to a place where there are righteous. One can accept their authority, and then he will receive all the powers that he lacks by the nature of his own qualities. He will receive it from the righteous. This is the benefit implanted them in each generation, so that each generation would have someone to turn to, adhere to, and from whom to receive the strength required to rise to the degree of a righteous. Baal Hasulam. Shemati Article 99. He did not say wicked or righteous. One of the reasons why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, reception, is because it passes through each generation, and every generation needs a teacher, a Kabbalist, one with spiritual attainment, in the world. That is a necessity in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Only extremely rare and unique individuals can reach attainment of the Creator by receiving special treatment from above. As such, we need to always be connected to great sages who are in spiritual attainment, so that in each generation, we can make spiritual progress. Since the wisdom of Kabbalah discusses phenomena that a person can only attain through the teacher, then he learns sources, through the teacher, which pass through all generations. The key to the student's attainment of what passes through his teacher is subjugation, through which the small can receive from the great. Accordingly, there are degrees of the student's subjugation to the teacher. Therefore, we need to understand how great and unique Baal HaSulam was, and how much we need to subjugate to what he left us, his writings, with the hope that to the extent of such subjugation, we will be able to connect to his spirit, through which we can receive the upper force from the Creator. Kabbalah lesson on the topic Baal HaSulam Memorial Day on October 10, 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, the 16th of June 2019, Part 2. Question: how can you understand that the soul was born and is developing? Answer: the fact is that you get a very vivid sensation, a feeling, awareness of its existence, which leaves no doubt that it has happened and is happening. Question: is it possible to develop too fast? Is there a recommended time limit? Answer: there is no limit, develop as quickly as possible. Question: can I study Kabbalah on my own? Answer: no, I do not recommend that. You will get confused and will not understand anything. Question: how many people are aware of these things in life? Answer: there are very few. But in terms of quality, they are much higher and more accomplished than others, they overshadow everyone else. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 16th of June 2019. New Life number 281. The Source of Emotions and Their Role.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on A New Life, this educational series with Dr. Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we would like to open a new series of discussions on New Life. We want to talk about emotions. We're emotional creatures. We have different types of emotions. We want to know where these emotions come from, how we can manage them wisely, and how we can advance from the state we're in to a better life, a new life. Be with us. There'll be a lot what to take to our life. Nitza enters on this journey to the world of emotions. So we know how to divide our emotions into positive emotions and negative emotions. And usually we have an inclination to get far from the negative emotions and to try as much as possible to intensify the positive ones and do the opposite to the negative. Because we're emotional creatures and there's a very clear agreement that it actually manages us, and we don't really manage our emotions. You can't also replace an emotion with another one, and you can't decide what the intensity of the emotions, whether we get it in a high volume or for it to pass quickly. And somehow it places us as people in a place where you don't know how to manage yourself emotionally. It really influences on taking it, making decisions on how we connect between people, on the interactions, meaning everything is actually influenced from that place of emotions. So we would really like during this series to understand this place of emotions, where it comes from, what's its role, and how we can in the proper management to live a good life and be happy. So the first question is really, what is the source for emotions? Where does emotions exist? Where is it in our body? Our whole body is emotion. There is no more than emotions or feelings in the world, because our matter is a desire to enjoy. Our whole life, our whole sensation of existence is through emotions and feelings. Though it seems to us that it's not like that, that we're intellectual beings, understanding beings, being calculations, but it all comes after the emotion, after the feeling. The cell, the particle, the atom, every matter that there is, from still vegetative, animate, and people, every single matter is all in all a feeling. And after it feels, it does an intellectual or mind calculation how to come to better feelings. And it can never resist or go against the attaining of a good feeling. Of course, there is in this whole behavior many different ways, sometimes even warped ways that are supposedly not normal, that a person enters himself into supposed seemingly negative feelings. But that is our nature. We can never resist a better feeling for us. And always what our perception of, let's say, reality is an emotional perception of reality alone. And the mind, as it stands behind the feelings and directs a person how to always come to better, worthwhile emotions in the degree of behavior, regular behavior, in the internality of a person, in the, to the measure of his connection with other people. One is always managed by his mind in order to attain a better feeling, a better emotion. And this is, once again, because our matter is a will to enjoy, meaning a desire to feel what's good for me. And therefore, though we are not so aware of this, but all in all, we are managed by the feelings, we are drawn to the good feelings, we only live for that, and the whole wisdom of life is a wisdom of how to attain the full, whole emotions that fill us in a way that we will feel truly from them full gratification or satisfaction. This is the essence of life. In still vegetative inanimate, it's even more. There are very complex systems, and it's not possible to learn them through psychology. Therefore, psychology is basically bankrupt, even though it only exists for about 100 years, let's say. But for the last few dozens of years, it's already not in the right role, the right function, because we discovered that we cannot study the feelings and understand the feelings and direct it correctly. Rather, the emotions, the feelings are preceding, they're the initial ones, and our mind only comes after the emotions, and therefore we're not capable of going from the mind to the emotions and to study correctly so that we will later be able to direct a human being to be in the truly worthwhile estate. We are very mistaken in this direction, and we find that we cannot organize our life in the proper way because of this. And until we understand how to deal with our emotions, we will not come to the sensation of a good life, and we won't take on any decision in very distant states from our feelings, which are the economy and the politics, social life, education, culture. It doesn't matter which, of course, in the family and in everything. If we won't know the essence of the thought and of the feelings, and to know how to somehow come close to managing them and controlling them. And here, because we have come in our development to the big crisis, the crisis is first of all in that we are all in, I would say, a very weak standing, that is very disappointing to us, that we're not capable of controlling our emotions. It's a very disappointing revelation. For it works out that as humanity developed throughout thousands of years, we were not aware of it so much. Rather, we would run to fill ourselves by, first of all, food, then sex and family. Later, the matter of money came, honor, control, knowledge. We think that these are good means in order to give us the feeling of life. And really, in the development of the will to achieve all these things, we thought that, oh, money could fill us, oh, honor could fill me, respect, control, knowledge, science, and before that also food, sex, and family. And all in all, after all these expressions of life, of fillings, there's simply the emotions, the desire to enjoy, which wants to be to have pleasure. It wants to feel full. It wants to feel that it's getting what is worthwhile for it. And this is the sensation of life. And what happened is that we are coming now to a state in which none of these expressions of the feeling of life, food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge, cannot fill them. What does that mean? It can't give us that fulfillment, that feeling of wholeness, that feeling of life, that feeling that I'm full, that I'm satisfied, that even if you will give it to me, we see that what is given to man, he is nevertheless still unsatisfied. It's like he has a portion, he wants 200. Why? Because he thinks that by 200 he could somehow fill himself. He has a little bit of control, he wants big control. Why? Because he thinks that even the smallest fulfillment in the regular way, in all of these different forms of food, sex, family, money, knowledge, and respect, feels like this desire is even emptier after that. And then it comes out that I don't come to a good feeling. I come, all in all, through these fulfillments, to a bad feeling. There was the American dream. They wanted to develop and to bring to everyone. And we see these Hollywood movies about a home, a family, cars, pleasures, some fancy school for the kids, and vacation, and fun. And what happens in the end of all this? There's a certain lack of success here. A lack of success. As much as we study, let's say, the details, like the details about riches and prosperity, and we see that it's not dependent on the achievement, the materialistic achievements. We see that until a certain level where a person gets what is normally necessities for existence, that's there. But in the human in us, it's not enough for it, because it lives on the emotions. And we've truly come to a state in which we're in a big crisis. What does it mean the human in us lives from feelings? Because our will to receive, after thousands of years of development, has come to a state in which it discovers that it could be that I have everything and still I'm not satisfied. I can only be confused from all the assets and the confusions that life is bringing me. But a feeling that I am living and I feel good, that my emotions, my will to receive, my desire to enjoy is full. There is no such thing. Our matter, I'm saying again, is a lack, a desire. It's like a certain hunger. And I want for this hunger to be filled with satiation, with a feeling of satiation from life, and that will not end, that will not disappear. And continues, and all the time I'll be satisfied and in peace and calm, and the run after each time more and more is tiring and empties a person in the end from a person to that he doesn't want. He doesn't want. He enters into drugs and all kinds of things that help him forget. Meaning our lives are all the time in a situation, in a state, and built from a situation where I'm having to run after life and how to fill those feelings, how to answer them, how to constantly bring me to a good sensation. It's like I'm a slave of some animal that lives inside of me and constantly is grinding me and working me, and I just need to give it and give it and give it, and there's no limit. There's no end to it. In the end, I find myself, I discover myself, that this inner lack that's in me, which develops, it cannot be filled. My desire constantly grows, my lack grows all the time, until I despair. And in the end, when I don't want to run after anything anymore, that's also a feeling, it's also a development of that inner animal, of that lack, that pushes me onwards, and to where? We come to a state in which, if we do certain statistics, study in the world population, we see that the world is not satisfied, it's not happy. The degree of suicide and the depression, the antidepressants that are being used for each and everything, we are starting from year to year, we're starting to bring them down to the younger and younger ages. Today, you're already giving them out to children at the age of 4 or 5, 6. Otherwise, they're in a hyperactive state. Why? They can't listen. They can't hear. That development has come to them to such revolutions, to some such a pace that they're not capable of being filled with something regular that was possible for them 50 or 100 years ago. When the child had a ball and he was already happy, and today he's not happy for anything. He's just, give me, give me, give me, and then what will you give it to him? He doesn't, he himself doesn't know, and a few minutes later, it's already, the source of his life, that he got in some toy, is disappearing. And that's how we are in life also, until we come to depression, to depress, to the general malaise. So this feeling is our matter. We can say in such words even that every movement that we see in the atoms, and later the connection into molecules, and later into all sorts of more complex materials, is also in order to answer that lack which is in that particle, that which is in that body, that wants to maintain itself with a more secure feeling, with a more full feeling, with a more balanced feeling. And we see that it's not happening. As much as we enter more and more into matter, where there needs to be a certain calm, let's say, a human being. Of course, he's running in all kinds of directions because his desire is very developed. But an animal, less. Plants are even less. And inanimate needs to be even less. And not necessarily so. We see that if we go into the inanimate, we see that within the part, there's this speed light in those particles of the atoms and their particles, the elementary particles, and they're basically running within the matter, and constantly they are giving our matter this energy, because without that, matter would not exist. If we could stop the movement that's inside of an atom, then the matter would disappear. It lives specifically because it is constantly in movement. So therefore we need to understand, they add, that the essence of life is an endless change in attaining the desirable, just like it is in the fundamental parts of matter. And when the desirable will to receive comes to a degree of man, it comes to a certain essence that is made up of feeling and mind and intellect, and it starts to develop in human beings an awareness, a consciousness, which doesn't exist even in the degree of animal, but only in the degree of speaking. Which tells him, why I'm running, what am I trying to correct, what is my nature doing with me? And it works out that I start to not agree with the process that I need to constantly run and fill myself, and thus to gather this and never come to enjoyment, never come to calm, so that my emotion is constantly remaining in a lack, in a feeling that I'm not full, I'm lacking, I'm missing, I don't even finish enjoying from one thing, I'm already thinking, where will I go now to enjoy after this? From rest, or from dancing, or from singing, or from reading, or from seeing, or from someone, or from something. And it's all the time I must constantly give myself some plan. What my schedule is, what my plan is, how am I going to enjoy all the time? This is actually my matter, which pushes me forward in such a way. And as I start to critique it and scrutinize it through my mind, which has finally developed to this degree where I can critique it, then I enter into despair. I see that I am a slave of my desire. What desire? My desire to enjoy, which is all of matter. And this servitude is an endless, unlimited servitude, that I am truly within such forces that constantly, relentlessly are managing me, and even after I'm dead, they still won't let go of me. It's like they include all of nature in such a way that there's probably no possibility to come out of them. And here a person comes to a certain anxiety of, well, so what is life? What is the existence itself? That I must constantly fill and fill and fill this desire. Why do you call it slavery or servitude? You said that I'm a slave to my desire to enjoy. So why is it slavery? After all, this desire is what fills all of life in general, and all the levels of nature, even inside the atom. The whole nature is the feeling to fill itself, to intensify its existence. So why, if I'm operating in that matter, like all of nature, from a desire to feel good, from a desire to feel even better, why do you call it bondage or slavery? Why is that? From what are you enjoying? How many minutes do you enjoy after you've sustained the feeling? What feeling? That your desire is being filled and you feel the pleasure. For how many moments does it come to you? For what, for example? After food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge. Just as we learned and we defined that they are those sources of pleasure, of our pleasure. Right now, I'm thirsty, I'm drinking. In 15 minutes, I'll be tired, maybe I'll go and rest. I'll get up later, and then I'll do something. Meaning, life is built from all kinds of scenes in which I want to enjoy a certain thing, yes, and I do them. And later I want to enjoy something else, and I do that too. Where is the slavery here? Where's the bondage here? Where it's different? That's one thing. Now, if you're operating in such a manner, you are at the degree of animal. What do you mean animal? You're animal like a beast, that you're not aware of what you're doing, who's managing you, and why you need to behave specifically in such a way. I, in my mind, I'm going to go and study and research. What am I doing? I want something. I'm going and efforting in order to achieve the desirable. I fill myself with what I wanted. I filled. My feeling, instead of deficiency, is now a feeling of fulfillment. I had a feeling of a lack, and now it's a feeling of sorrow, an unpleasant state, and now it's a pleasant state. So that's what I replaced it with. So my life is made up of the feelings of lack and feeling, a lack and a feeling. You could say a good feeling and a bad feeling, it doesn't matter. But in only more scientifical definition. So I'm asking like this, not them and not their reward. Why do I need to feel a lack and then a feeling and then a lack and then a feeling? Well, what next? It's like it's written that one does not die without having half his lack still in his hands. That all my life, what I want and what I feel, what I want and what I feel, and so on. I don't see any greater benefit, whole, eternal, rational. Why do I need in my life a million times to want to eat and to eat? And to get tired and then rest. No, really, why do I have to? Because you're hungry a million times. But I'm asking above that. What do you mean? Why is life built in such a way that I need to constantly need to be empty and full, empty and full, empty and full? What's the benefit? So that's like awareness or perception? Yes, you're walking like an atom. You're like a dog running after his tail. Well, and what next? Do you have some rational excuse? What do you have in this? Rationality can only be in what? That by such development, it's not that we're walking around like a dog after his tail, but rather we're going like a wheel on a train that is constantly turning, though it's going backwards, but it's also going forward. And we're also moving on a certain axis to a certain development, and then we have come. If the previous generations, we didn't think about the goal of life, the purpose of life, that, for what for do I need this life? What's the point in life? What's the meaning of life? Today, from us being developed and with the experience of thousands of years which each generation passes on to the next, so today I want, or whether I want or not, I'm starting to think not the way I thought, let's say 200 or 2,000 years ago. Today I'm thinking, what is this all for? And then I enter into despair from my life. It's true, also today I'll go and party, and tomorrow I'll go back to work again, and then again to party. And people say, well, that's life. There's people that say, okay, there's nothing you can do, that's life. Already in a different way. And there's people that say, this is life, and we need to investigate the study. Why is life like this? What are they leading us to? Can we change them somewhat? Let's study the fundamentals of life. Because otherwise, we become slaves of that desire which exists in us and constantly is spinning us to lack filling. I would like to understand something. What did you want to ask? What happiness depends on, or what emotions are? Yes, the question was, what's the source of emotions or feelings, and where is it? That's the feeling of what's inside my desire. I feel I'm all desire, and inside the desire, what I feel, it's called emotion or feeling. What desire? A desire to enjoy. Sir, I'm saying this all the time. A desire to enjoy, it's like a sponge. What does it want to constantly absorb? I want to enjoy what's outside of me. Each time something else. And the desire is me that feels and that wants to enjoy what's around me or outside of me, closer or further away. It depends at what level there is a desire, a level of still, vegetative, animate, or speaking, depending on how is developed in each one of those degrees. And in those things, I want either closer things or further things. I can enjoy from porridge right now as a baby, or I can say, no, wait, I'll enjoy something bigger in another year if I'm a developed person. Let's say some industry people, economists. They invest a lot and then they enjoy the future to come. Meaning I am constantly in attaining the feeling for my desire. And the feeling which is in the desire in the current state is called the feeling or the emotion. And the feeling could be is what imprints the current state, or upon the state that I want to achieve. I want to achieve water. I don't want water. I want to achieve the feeling that the water gives me. The feeling of filling. That's exactly what I wanted to get the sharpening and the explanation. Because really, it's very hard for us to understand the connection. Meaning, I don't feel like I'm searching after emotion. Let's say I'm looking for a car, for a home. Not true. So there's no, it's the emotion behind that. No, you're not searching for a car or a home. You are searching for the calm, for your lack. Your lack could be yours, personally, which is only for food, sex, and family, which is natural. And there could be the lacks that come by the environment, which is money, honor, and study, and research. I'm sorry, and knowledge. And these are things, they just come in these different levels. The lacks of food, sex, and family, we call them natural lacks. They're given. We can study those also, why specifically we're built in such a manner that we are included from the desires for food, sex, and family, for those fillings. But I don't want food, and I don't want sex, and I don't want family. I want the filling from them. I can put an electrode into my mind, into my brain, and to be calm for the lack for sex, or the lack for family, or even for food. so that my body can starve to death and I won't feel that it's about to die. Meaning I don't need to put that piece of food inside of me or to receive sex or to be inside of a family. I need the fulfillments, the fillings, the internality of what they give. It's something called, it's about the emotions, like you were asking about. That all these external things are just the clothings, the dressings for a certain wrapping for the feeling that I receive. And the feeling truly is only connected, is what connects between the water and my intestines. And the feeling comes as a result of this approach that I am built in such a way that if you put this into this, you receive here a feeling of filling, which is called food. Like a certain conditioning. Only. Now, it's interesting, but now, if we rise above that, then we need to think, wait, could it be that we will come to life in which today everything is all in all developing, you know, these 3D printers that can print anything, and people have all kinds of things. Maybe we can come to such a life that what for us to run after all these things? Maybe we can really give a person a feeling of fulfillment, a feeling, an emotion that he has everything. And he won't run, and he won't do anything from the basic things. If we had the ability to give people calmness in earning and achieving and being in a struggle and battles and competition, just like for our children, all the things that we don't recommend for our children. So how good would that be? Only we need to calm a person, calm people, meaning to give them the feeling, the sensation of fulfillment by things that are just like that. Let's say that these desires, we'll call them bad desires, because they supply for us life and they confuse our lives and they destroy our environment. If we could give the property of calmness, of a good feeling to those that are in the inclination to being criminals and let's say bad people, how good would that be? Meaning we could move to a life all in all that we will fill ourselves with the good emotions without any physical action. We see that it's possible. And then our life will take on a total different dimension. We will come to a certain degree in that. Why should we run after water for our belly? And which should be a very clear thing that it has to be supposedly that way. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I can get that energy, that those fillings in a different way. In the end, what do I get inside? I get the energy, so I can get it from the air. Maybe I don't know how. Like today, you do it in the virtual connection between us. What am I trying to say? That feelings define everything. They decide everything. But on its own, in itself is a very abstract condition from the matter. And as much as it is accompanied with the matter, it's a very relative thing. Very relative, that I can receive the same feeling from anything else. Yes, I put myself a certain hat with electrodes there, with all kinds of things, and whatever I want, I'm already there. And I fill my desire in such a way. The question is other also. Why should I do those things and to satisfy my desire, the lack that's in me? Maybe I can deal with the lack that's even more primordial and do it before that. Why should I want those things and not other things? Not how to fill them, and let's fill the not so desirable lacks and somehow meaning dealing with the desires and filling the desires. Maybe we will take care of the desires themselves. That what are they there, and why do we need them, and why do they need to progress us towards? So here we can come to very dangerous situations, because we can use it in all kinds of directions. It depends on human development. Therefore, we come to such thoughts and abilities in our times, but we're still not capable of controlling them. And therefore, nature is not giving us the possibility to do this. But the first question that can be from all of this, if we go to the basics, how can I initially stand before the desires, where they start to stabilize in me, to be born in me, and how do I control the desires themselves? Not the fulfillments and the types and all types and the means that I need to achieve, to attain and get food and sex and family, or in order to get food, what do I need to do? 1,000 actions, and the whole world is running after that, or sex, what the whole world made with this, or family, what's going on, and so on. Why do I need these fulfillments? Then the desires. And why do I need the desires? So here, I'm going to the foundation of creation. Because all in all, what we have is a feeling of a lack. How do I take care of all of these feelings? Where do they come from? And how I can maybe organize them in a way that I will have a good life? So first of all, I need to decide, what is a good life? Because I'm operating also in my study with my current lack and with my mind to achieve the current desirable thing in the mind that I'm in right now. Let's say, like today, humanity has the possibility to bring each and every person, so he will live, let's say, for 500 years. Let's say. It's possible. In the horizon, it's given. What will we do with it? What will we do with this? Therefore, it's not worthwhile for us to open such things at all, such channels. Rather, not to touch them, because they will bring us, it's still not, it doesn't fit with our mindset at the moment. The means that we receive need to be in accordance with our values, with our degree of development, to a degree that we will know what to do with our feelings. What, just to feel good? But first of all, we need to decide, from what can we truly feel good? At least that. There's much more deeper questions here. What does it mean to feel good? What is good? What could be the whole good? And it's not according to my feelings and my mind, because I constantly change and replace the good with the bad and bad with good. But can I come to some measure which is full, the absolute? Yeah, some kind of relations that which towards that measure, I can say that is the measure that towards it I can measure everything. It's not dependent on me, and the changes to me, it doesn't depend on anyone or on anything. Rather, this is what I need to measure. If I can use this unit and measure everything in my life, I am for sure that I will not err. And if I come with it together to its feeling, its emotion, then this is the best possible feeling. So I need each time to start and talk not about my life. Rather, I need first of all to find that true unit, that true measure, that what is that absolute good? And towards it, I need to already think, how do I change compared to that absolute good? then it is certain that my emotions, my feelings will be the best possible ones that could be in reality. It doesn't matter what form of reality, only that it would be an absolute good for me as a goal, as a measure. Just like you say, where do emotions come from and what were they meant for? And what were they meant for? That's exactly that I need to constantly care for my and deal with my emotions, but towards which emotion, what feeling? How do I develop this? And from here, we already come to all of the development of the integral education. I'm a little stuck in a little earlier, and if we can go back on it, please. Nitsa asked earlier, she said, for example, I am looking for a home, I am looking for a car. You told her, you're not looking for a home or for a car, you're looking for a feeling. Yes, because what did Nitsa want? I want a house. No, you don't want a house. I don't want a house, but I want a house. No, I have a house. I want a better house. That's because you looked at others. That's not that you want it, that others want that. You can want food, sex, and family, but what feeling stands behind that desire to attain something bigger? Honor, respect. For him, in his case, it's honor. Wait, you're running too fast, slowly. Give me something that I want, that you think that is comfortable with. He said, house is not a good example. Let's say I want to eat good. Is that okay? Eat good. Well, let's say, yes. Give me some desire. It seems to me like it doesn't matter what desire. That a person wants to eat, yes. Good is already a problem. I want for it to be exactly tasty. Because so your tastes are also not your tastes. But you don't have such a thing. But rather in a balanced, raw manner, you want to eat because your animal, your beast, desire requires food. Food's not enough for me. I need for it to be something very specific, the best and the best restaurant and all that. If not, I don't have an appetite and then I'm nervous. You give me the example. I won't give the example. I see that I'm having difficulty. Give me an example that something I'm searching for and you're saying, no, you don't need this thing. You're truly looking for the feeling. How behind the matter, this thing in our mind? Wait, you yourself just said no, that you're searching for a feeling. I'm not looking for a feeling. Yes, you want a certain soup with a specific lemon, like it should be, and a little bit of the hot spice, just like I know exactly the way I like it. Yes, that's it, right? Yes. So you're searching for the feeling of that thing. Because if something is not enough, or not good, or not exactly in this whole concoction, then already you don't have a good feeling. What do you mean I don't have a good feeling? I'm searching to feel that the soup is good. Yes, that yes. But why does it mean that I'm calling for search? I'm looking for good soup. No. Because if you change one little thing, it's already no good if you move one thing. So what are you looking for? So the soup is not good. The complex is not good. I'm looking for feelings. I want a house. I want a home. I want happy children. I want soup. I'm sorry. When you take this soup into your mouth and you feel it, you want to feel it just like you have exactly like that. So you want a feeling. Okay, but a feeling is general. You always say to me that you want a desire. Lady will say that you want to drink, to sleep on a mattress exactly that'll be as hard as I exactly like. And you'll say, no, you don't need this mattress that costs thousands of shekels. You need feeling. So everything I want in life, you'll say to me, no, really? You don't need this tea right now. Not this villa with a pool. You don't need a car. You don't need beautiful children. You don't need anything. You need to feel good. Yes, our topic is emotions. I agree with you that I want to feel good in everything I want. Is that called that I'm looking for feelings all the time? Yes, and in all the things that you acquire, it's only in order to bring the right feeling to yourself, only to attain this emotion. So this is the common denominator to all these ambitions I have in life. just to feel good from all the rest. All the rest is just clothing. I think this is the lesson for awareness, number one. Why are we stumbling on this? Because I think that our major feeling problem is that we don't understand that we're searching for feelings, that we're searching for something. We think we're thinking for something materialistic, let's say a successful career or to achieve. No, no way, completely not. I think that the first discernment that is concealed in my lexicon, in the lexicon of science, is called filling. There's a lack, an empty vessel, and a filling. An empty vessel is a desire that wants to be filled. The moment it receives the filling into what it wants, it gets the desirable. Its inner feeling is called happiness, joy, and so on. Feeling. That's what we need. That's why we live. You said, I don't need sex, I need feeling. Of course, I need sex. No. No. I can give you many types of fulfillment that you will enjoy, like from sex. You don't need the action itself. If instead of the action itself, the pleasure will come like from the action, then you will receive that pleasure and will be filled also. Why do people come to drugs? I take that and I don't need anything. I suppress my desire for anything. I have now everything I want. I'm in a pink dream. Tell me, please. You need, say something. It doesn't matter what. You need to effort for it and to earn and to profit and to go and buy and bring it home. I enjoy. Why? I brought some box home. What a box I have now. After a minute or less, after 2 minutes less, after a day or two, completely, I don't even see the box, and after a week, it's already bothering me. Right? The more assets we have, the more concerns we have. You already don't know what to do and how to get rid of things that you already acquired. Until you move to the corner of your apartment just so that this box will stand there. You, meaning, what for do you have to go after all the means for the feeling, for the sensation of feeling, for the feeling of happiness, for the feeling of satisfaction, for your emotions, for your feelings, for a good feeling? Why do you need to go after the means and to do all sorts of, to be concerned all the time? Let's, each can imagine his life like an angel. You lie on a cloud. How wonderful, music, everything is good. Air. Yes, airplanes are passing by you like that. The birds, yes, Garden of Eden. Imagine yourself such a life. Yeah, seagulls. What's bad with that? It's not bad at all, but it's a movie. It's like taking drugs. Yes, yes. So I'm asking, why do we need? What did you just depict? You made a depiction of life without means, within the pleasure. I didn't understand that sentence. I feel good as I'm lying like that on a cloud. Yes, of course. Wonderful, all that I have with a press, without even pressing, in thought, just a thought. Even thought. They'll know in advance what I want. Yes, so they won't come. Let them come without even letting me feel them. Yeah, music, yes. Video, something. Yeah, the Garden of Eden. Yeah, smells, everything. Good food. What food? Why should I sweat? I want it to come to the cloud, everything. It fills me, according to my thought, a little bit more and a little bit more, without me doing that hard work of when I have to lift a spoon to my mouth. What are you looking at me? Why do I need to go up? Where's this? Where's this? Where's the? Well, maybe it's not exactly like it was. Why? I'm getting exactly that feeling like I want. According to my desire, that's how it exactly the feeling comes. What a pleasure. A whole pleasure. Why can't we have that? But you don't have anything. You don't have no soup. So what do I need soup if I feel the pleasure from the soup? So it's like the electrodes that you told us before, that I can, you could put an electrode in my brain and I'll feel like I ate soup that was great. And what's bad with that? Tell me. No, what am I trying to say? That in the foundation of our lives, those electrons are working, that are spinning, and they don't need any more than that electricity. When you're enjoying, we'll go to a different form now of accepting of life. We don't have so much time, but when I look at you and I see, do I see you? Your image that I'm imagining to myself, I don't see your image, because what I'm seeing in my eye already, it is divided into thousands and thousands of parts, and then it goes in all kinds of electrical wires here from my eye into my brain, and then in the mind, in the brain, all kinds of electrical chemical processes occur there and all that, and so, and that's it. So what do you need the soup? And what you're, when you're eating, those nerve endings, what are they feeling? They're feeling some influence, some stimulation from the soup and the spice and the pepper. It's just a little bit of chemistry. A little salt and a little pepper and a little all kinds of things. In that, you are stimulating the tips of your nerves, and they're bringing you a feeling of electricity within. And once again, electrochemistry. And again, and they're giving you a calm, a feeling of calm. And that calm also, if we go and study it, what does it mean that you're feeling a calmness there in some place in your head? Let's say it's in your head. That's also a question, where it even exists. We come to the source of life, that if you're saying emotions and why they were meant, what they were meant for, our feelings were meant to bring us and to lead us to truly the source of life, the most internal, where all of matter disappears. And when we truly come to there in our study, we will discover that we ourselves need to start to change in order to understand that world of our inner feelings. So we will be able to get to know the processes that are occurring within our emotions and feelings. And this will demand a great change from us. And we will already know how to change, and the process will bring us to a new feeling. In that, that measure, that absolute good that we want to achieve from all sorts of flavors and different things will be called taste and see the upper value, something that is in the foundation of nature, from which this source, from this source, we'll call it the source of life, all the feelings come, which in us, for the time being, are grasped as also like the soup that you like, and sex, family, money, and all the rest. But they come from that source, from that foundation. And if so, if everything comes out of one channel and later receives all kinds of different clothings and all kinds of nonsense, I don't want. I want to go through those games and with my feeling and to develop my feelings in order to come each time closer to that, to that pipeline, to the source. And there, I want to be truly adhered. If I receive pleasure there, it's exactly going to be suitable to my desire, the corrected, my corrected desire, in accordance with that raw fulfillment and endless. And what do I care? Do I need soup in order to enjoy? What do I need sex to enjoy? In you, it's still bound together. They're seamed together. This I receive from this. This I receive from that. But if you go and study our reality more internally, you will see that there's no connection between this and that. You take a little bit of salt. What do you need? That little bit of chlorine there from that chemical formula to stimulate a little bit the tips of your nerves, so you'll have such a sensation. So you can go straight to that sensation. Why do you need the means, the this chemical matter of salt. So to the feeling I go directly, you said one option is through putting electrodes in my mind. No, that we just gave that as an example. I can go in a totally different way. I can go without electrodes. Yes, without. Don't worry. How? I leave my body completely. Where do I leave to? I go to relate directly to the feelings of man and to discover that it doesn't even exist in his body. So where is it? The emotion? Where is the feeling? There is no place. I'm sorry, but here we stumble upon several discernments that will be difficult to discuss with you. There is no place. We grasp place only as the field of our emotions, or of our feelings here. Where are my feelings? Reach? That enters in the scale of my perception. It's good because it's like my sensors. What do we call the senses, the feelings that I can sense or that I can feel? Why are there things that I don't identify? My feelings or my sensations are not developed for that. Meaning a sensitive person that has a developed sensation, it can discern other things. Yes, but there are such feelings that we cannot develop in our natural manner because they truly are in fields that the human body and the feeling that's developed around this, all these things don't come to this dimension. We need to develop ourselves. And the development of this matter is completely not associated with what happens to us here in this world. This is development which is called spiritual development. What is this channel? You said something about this channel. You know, the main tap where all the soup and the sex, the new home and everything comes from. The pipe of abundance. Where it's completely abstract, like you want it. Let's say you grasp this channel. Now whatever you want, that's what you'll receive. Every single emotion. Let's say I want a car. You want to receive a car. You get the feeling of a car. This feeling, that feeling. What is it, like magic? I don't know what you call magic, but I'm talking about the abundance that fills your feeling in a direct manner. You had feelings, desire, and there was the source of this pipe. And all the rest that you wanted to fill yourself, to acquire it and so on, because you thought that through it you will fill yourself. Now you nullified that. And you connect directly to this channel. And that's it. What else? Why do you need all the rest? So this abundance has a source that is abstract, and then it clothes in the matter, and then in accordance, I need to be abstract. To not want a car, or food, or sex, or family, or all the rest. So how will you enjoy? Directly from the abundance. But I don't want those clothings that are between me and that pipeline. I want directly to be connected to the pipe. Let the abundance come to me directly. What for? Like electrodes. They give me the feeling of fulfillment. So that's how I want to enjoy this feeling also. Why should I effort and look for work and do all those things? What for? And other than that, I receive from the abundance also what's worthwhile for me, according to my nature. And not because I saw that my neighbor has something there, or there's a pool next to his home, or something else. But if I connect directly to the abundance, don't I lose this pleasure of the efforting to get it anyway, nevertheless? And no, we need to talk about that we do need a new desire that will constantly broaden and develop, but we're already connecting to the true source. And this whole story is called developing the awareness, which is connected between the mind and the feeling. The awareness that we can connect to our emotions to an unlimited state, and our mind into an unlimited way, in accordance to the source of life, which is also unlimited. Our time is over. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. There's a future. There's a future without electrons. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you, too, for being with us. There's a future. New life. All the best.